Welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 123 for March 12th, 2019. This week on the podcast, I'm joined by Ryan and Wes, and we're expecting WC along shortly. We also have a special guest, which we'll get into in just a minute. But on this week's podcast, basketball's big win in Austin, but are clouds forming on the horizon? How did the Frogs do at the recent NFL Combine? TCU brings home another national championship, and we lose an amazing Frog. But to get us started tonight, Ryan, would you mind introducing
our
special guest?
I will. Tonight, we would like to welcome Amanda Peterson. She is the co-chair for Cook's Children's. It's the walk that we've been talking about that Maurice was on last week talking about Micah. She's the co-chair for The Blast, sponsored by Cook's Children's Hospital, benefiting neuroblastoma patients. So, Amanda, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you. And we preface this whole thing for all you listeners that, you know, we're professional on here, but, you know, we're always having, like right now, WC is joining. Hello, WC.
Hello. Sorry about that, guys.
Whoa. What happened to your face?
Hey, my hair was long. I cut it all off and I cut all my beard off. I just got a little bitty goatee to start with.
Well, you look good. All right.
I'm in shock here. Wait.
I am too, a little bit.
You look like Babyface Dubber. What?
Yeah. I went back to Babyface Dubber. It's, you know, it's getting closer to spring, the new beginning, and that's what I do. I shave it off.
There you go.
What a great way to start off the show.
Well, you look good. I know. So, Amanda, this is just how things go with the evening. You should join us during football season. It's we usually have these podcasts over a cocktail, so it gets a little crazy.
I'm not waiting for football season.
I've been out having a birthday party.
Yes.
Woo! Sorry, Ryan. We didn't mean to interrupt your.
Anyway, back to our special guest of the evening, Amanda Peterson. So, welcome, Amanda. How are you now that we're all settled and know each other and can finally get started? Good deal. Yeah. So, I know Amanda's on spring break this week as well with her kids. So, Amanda, go ahead and, you know, you're a big part of The Blast and Cook's Children's Hospital. Your daughter has experienced the same as cancer as Micah, our superhero, neuroblastoma. Tell us about your experience so far.
In April of 2017, we brought my daughter to Cook Children's for an episode of her not being able to walk. She was struggling with being able to climb stairs and climb into bed. Brought her to the ER where they did an MRI just to rule out any kind of neurological issues. So about halfway through the MRI, the doctors came out and told us that they discovered a tumor or a mass in her chest. She was immediately admitted. They finished additional scans that they might need. And then we met with Dr. Granger and found out that the tumor that she had was most likely neuroblastoma.
Yeah.
So after a biopsy and, you know, additional testing, they did determine that it was neuroblastoma. But because the mass was so large in her chest cavity, it had completely collapsed her left lung and pushed her heart. So she had open chest surgery to remove the tumor in her chest. And then 2 weeks later, she had spine surgery to remove the tumor that was wrapped around her spinal cord and all throughout her vertebrae or her spinal canal.
That's a lot of surgery in a short amount of time. Did she bear up pretty well under all that?
You know what? She had such a great attitude. It was hard for her to be away from family because we spent an entire month in the hospital.
Oh,
she
sure.
didn't get to go home. We spent the entire month of April in the hospital.
And she was 6 years old at the time. Is that right?
6 years old at the time. Yes.
Oh, and yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, I think how big did you say the tumor was? Like, did you say
it was 15 and a half centimeters in diameter? So about the size of a softball.
That's crazy. Wow. When you think about how tiny a little 6 year old girl is and to picture a tumor of that size inside her chest cavity, it's almost unimaginable. And that, oh gosh, I you know, obviously I can't imagine that. So how long was it, like in hindsight, how long did, was she having trouble walking and getting into bed? And
so we had noticed an abnormal gait within her for about a month. It would kind of come and go. She would kind of trip or fall down every now and then.
Yeah.
She had just this kind of heavy foot gait. It was just kind of odd to us. But there was the weekend of the very first weekend in April. It just became difficult for her to climb upstairs and to get into bed. My husband and I knew that something was wrong. It just wasn't right. Prior to that, though, at the age of 3, she was diagnosed with asthma. But we now know that it wasn't asthma. It was this tumor that was growing inside of her for so long.
Oh, my goodness.
That was causing these breathing issues because she had a left lung that wasn't even working because it was totally collapsed by the tumor.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. She definitely has angels over her because she's now doing, knock on wood, doing fine, isn't she? She's
healthy
these days.
We were able to remove the cancer with just those surgeries. She has not needed any other treatment. We have scanned every 3 months, and we scanned 6 months, and now we have graduated to yearly scans.
Oh, great.
That's very exciting. Yes.
Wow.
That's actually a great feat. For those of you that don't know, I just came back from a scan. I get one every 8 weeks, so I'm still pretty close, but every once a year, fantastic.
Yeah.
I hope that's a goal I hope to hit is once a year. That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. So so she'll be out there on March 23rd, won't she?
She will be. This will be our second year participating in the BLAST. Last year, we found out about the BLAST through a friend. Very interesting story. I work out with a group of moms, and when Leah was released from the hospital, we talked kind of during the summer about how nice it was that, you know, there were so many people just gave gifts, gave prayers, gave toys, and just all kinds of things in the hospital while we were there. People we didn't even know, friends and family that we did know. When we were released from the hospital and she had some time at home, and she came to my husband and I one morning and said that she wanted to raise money to give back to Dr. Granger.
Good for her.
Wow. Kind of took us by surprise. And we said, why? And she said, well, I want to help other kids with my kind of cancer get out of the hospital. So we said, what do you want to do? She said, I want to sell something. So she decided to have a lemonade stand. She asked her grandma and grandpa to build, she designed and asked her grandma and grandpa to build this lemonade stand. And we decided to host our first lemonade stand during the month of September, during Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. And she raised over $2,000 during that lemonade stand.
Wow.
That's a lot of lemonade.
It is.
My son, who's 8, asked us to do a lemonade stand, and I built one for him. We went out to the park and we did it. If we had even come to a percent of that, it would have been fantastic.
$2,000. It was amazing. We definitely are very blessed with great family and friends that support us. So during that lemonade stand, though, we actually met a family whose daughter was treated at Cook Children's. We didn't know each other. She just showed up at the lemonade stand and was drawn to it because we noted on there that we were giving back to Cook Children's neuroblastoma program. And come to find out, we work out with the same group of moms. And so she had told us about the BLAST. And that was very intriguing to us. I had never done a 5K or any type of run before. So when we got the save the date card for the BLAST, we were super excited. And we started Leah's team called Leah's Warriors.
Oh, I like it.
And ended up being one of the top 10 teams last year.
Wow.
Raised just like $2,200 for the BLAST. And we had
all
a large
lemonade
family.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was asked to be co-chair this year, and I graciously accepted.
Yeah, what an honor. My goodness. Congratulations.
That's terrific.
Last year was my first year to participate as well, and we loved it. We took our dog out there, and we walked. I wasn't in running shape last year. I may still not be in running shape this year. We'll see. But I'm going to be out there, and that's what we want everybody to know, is that just go to the link. We'll put it up on Killer Frogs, and it's all over Facebook, and you can sign up for Leah's team or Micah's team, or you know, just go. You don't even have to be on a team, and donate, and then you'll just be a part of a really, really special day out there at Clear Fork Park. And there's so many vendors that come out. Mm-hmm. I know last year, I'm pretty sure they'll be here there this year, but the Riata is out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This year, we are so honored to have Bonnells is going to be out there again, Riata, Austin's Underdogs, Old South, Luna Grill, and of course, Gold Ribbon Confections.
Oh, good. Yay. Yeah. Oh, those cookies are so good. My goodness.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
Between Old South pancakes, Maurice Ahern's cookies, and your daughter's lemonade, I'm sold.
I know, right?
It's definitely a fun event for us. One that we look forward to again this year. I think my daughter was most happy with getting a balloon. Like, she had this big gold balloon hat thing that was made from all the balloon artists that were out there. She got face painted. They were dancing with the DJ. But one thing that I haven't told her yet is that the Cook Children's Build-A-Bear Workshop is going to be out there this year.
Oh, neat.
Oh, that's fun. Wow.
So she's going to be pretty excited when she knows that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So they get all the kids get to – can the adults go through and make a bear, too? I had to borrow a kid so I can go through the line. It's so much fun.
For those of you who don't know, Ryan has a history of doing that.
I do. Yeah. I don't have kids of my own, so I borrow children so I can – so we can go camp out on the baseball field. So
that
we can
sounds
go
so terrible when you say that.
I do. But, you know, some parents are ready to give their children to me for, you know, a night or two. They're happy to have adult evenings out, you know, a date night. So
that's called babysitting.
I know, but we do it for free. So our nieces and nephews love it, and we love it when they come visit us. But their friends are allowed to. We'll take anybody's kids. It's fine. So anything else you want to tell us about your experience at Cook's? It sounds like it was, you know, it's about as good as it can get considering the circumstances of why you were there. But it just seems like a really special place.
You know what it is, and it was something that was just by chance. We ended up at the Cook Children's ER. We ended up at the number one place in the Southwest for neuroblastoma.
Wow.
I mean, like, we had no idea. And just to be there in where we knew that we had a doctor we could trust, we had a team that was doing everything right and what they knew to be best for our daughter was perfect. And we could drive home. We could still see our son. You know, my mother thankfully came and stayed and helped out, but my husband and I could take turns when it was only, you know, a 30-minute drive to the hospital and home.
Yeah.
And I saw that right in our backyard and not have to travel outside of Texas or outside of anywhere, you know, too far away from our home. We were very close.
Yeah.
We were very, very fortunate for that.
So how old is your son?
So he is 3 and a half right now.
And what's his name?
His name is Jacob.
Jacob. Oh, so will he be out there too?
Oh, yes, he will.
Good.
It's a family.
I'm going to try to keep him in the stroller as long as possible, but I don't think that'll last too long.
Yeah, I bet not. Well, wonderful. Well, he was a baby whenever y'all were going through this. My goodness. So, yeah, there's a lot on you all at once. Well, we will definitely keep Leah and our thoughts and prayers for, and as Coach Loschenagel always says, well, you know, knock on wood, because baseball, you know, is very superstitious. So we do a lot of knocking on wood. But we look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Well, yeah.
We'll have to definitely, there'll be so many people out there, but we'll have to come find you. We'll be in purple Team Micah, Superhero Micah shirt. So if you see one of us, grab us and yeah, we'll be able to meet Leah.
Leah's favorite colors are purple and green. So we deck out in purple and green. So I think there's going to be lots of purple this year.
We will find you for sure then. That will be wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I told you it wouldn't be nerve-wracking. I can remember the first time getting, I wouldn't even come on this thing for a while because I was like, I'm not getting on there. But it's easy. It's just like talking on the phone. So we appreciate it. You did great. And anything we can do to help you and your family get ready for the race, just let us know. And we're going to continue to try to get more and more people to sign up for the race and raise a lot of money so they can find a cure one day for all children.
Yeah,
so
that would be a great thing.
So, yeah. Well, thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you. Have a wonderful spring break. Give Leah and Jacob hugs for us, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
Good
thank
night.
Thank you, Amanda.
Bye.
It's been Cook's Children certainly has been a blessing to many families in this community. So if anybody who's listening to us this week, if you want to go ahead and join the neuroblastoma walk at Clear Fork, we're going to have a little bit more information coming up a little bit later in the podcast. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com and find out the information there. Go to nbwalk.org. Continuing on with TCU news, we've got a few things going on this week. Let's go ahead, though, and let's start off with, I think, the appropriate place, Wes. We lost a big frog this last week.
We lost one of the biggest. Dan Jenkins. He was iconic. One of the, I think somebody aptly described him in the forum as the Mark Twain of sports reporting.
Yeah, that's.
And aptly, I think that's good.
Yeah, aptly put.
Nobody had a sense of humor like Dan Jenkins. Nobody could express it on paper or on like Dan Jenkins. And I think, I don't know if you read the story, the eulogy written by his daughter, Sally, about her dad. It was in the Washington Post. She is a sports reporter for the Washington Post. And it was moving. It was apropos. It was everything you'd want. And I'll look up to now. And that really kind of cuts at me because that's true. I mean, she's lost her hero. But you know, Dan Jenkins, I mean, those are some huge shoes to fill for any sports writer. And I don't know anybody out there on the horizon right now that could possibly come close to that. He was the best.
So he was 89, right?
89, correct.
89, yeah. And lived in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And you know, I just Googled it. I mean, obviously the sport, I was going to maybe read the obituary if anybody can find it real quick, but, you know, obviously the Star Telegram wrote about him, but first thing that comes up is, you know, the Washington Post. that's pretty remarkable. I mean, didn't he just do a book signing this last summer?
Yes, last fall.
Yeah.
I actually went to the lab and did the book signing.
Oh, see,
and it was amazing, you know, as far as his mind. I mean, it was still there, and he just said, hey, I'm never going to quit writing. That's what, you know, what makes me stop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it was interesting, and Dubber, you know, Susan Nix a few years ago, we were neighbors, and she called me up one day and said, Dan Jenkins loves Killer Frogs, but he can't log on. Can you go help him? I said, heck yeah. You know, heck yeah. And so at the time, he lived over there in Simondale, and his house backed up to Gary Patterson's house. So they could go up to each other's back fence and, you know, hang over the fence and talk to each other. So I went over there at 3:00, as I was supposed to. Dan Jenkins answered the door, and he said, "You the Go Frogs guy?" I said, "Killer Frogs." Yeah, okay. So that kind of became a running joke between the two of us. He'd always call me the Go Frogs guy, and I'd correct him, and he's, no, it's Killer Frogs, Mr. Jenkins. Anyway, long story short, I got up to his office, which is like a museum of TCU and PGA memorabilia. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm sitting there next to this man who is a legend in sports writing. And I just, in total awe. And the boss, basically, he couldn't log on because he'd forgotten his password. And I said, I'm going to give you a password. He said, can't you tell me what password is? I said, no, I can't see anybody's password. That's not how we work. But I can create one for you. And I've changed it since then. So don't anybody try to log on into this. But I changed it to Sally. I said, you will forget that one. Oh, I didn't forget the goddamn first. Yeah. That's the only reason you can. Dan's family's a little crusty at times. So, but which is part of his appeal to me. I set it to Sally, his daughter's name.
No.
And so so he had no problem after that, but he would get on the Frog Den forum all the time. And it would always amaze me when he'd post something and people would come back. You know, some fans could be, oh, BS, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. I think,
yeah.
If only you knew who you were talking to. And he made me promise not to tell who he was. Now, I've let that secret, that cat out of the bag now, but on the forum, but, you know, it was...
They can find it if they go to the forum. I don't know if you want to broadcast it on the podcast. But.
Yeah, let everybody go search for it.
Yeah, let them go to the forum to find it.
Go to the forum. But anyway, he was on there, and he posts some pretty insightful things. It's pretty funny things, and I'd always be amazed when say, somebody, you know how people are. Oh, BS. You have no idea what you're talking about. Really? You know? So,
yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was hilarious. But as I'm walking out of his place, I'm just standing there marveling at all of that memorabilia. He had all the press badges from God knows how many PGA or Masters tournaments. It was quite a collection. I said, man, Mr. Jenkins, this is something. He goes, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with all this crap after I'm gone. I said, I'll take it. You know, but, of course, I'm not going to get it. But another quick story is that we both use the same dry cleaner. And I walk in there one day, and he's giving that girl behind the counter, holy hell. I mean, I don't know what she did to his shirts, but he wasn't happy about it. And he's being his crusty self. And I'm starting to feel sorry for him, but I stayed out of the picture. And then he turned around and to leave, and he saw me, and I said, hey, Mr. Jenkins, hey, Go Frogs guy. I said, Killer Frogs. So anyway, I go outside, I get my laundry, and walking out to my car, and he goes, hey, Killer Frogs guy. I said, whoa, he got it right. And so, yes, sir. He said, I got something for you. And you remember that collection of TCU memorabilia and articles he put out called the TCU Vault a few years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have it. Okay. Yeah.
He went to his trunk and pulled one out and signed it to the Go Frogs guy. And gave it to me. And that's something I'll treasure forever because I think it was just hilarious. And it came from Dan Jenkins himself. So.
Oh, that's wonderful, Wes. Wow. That is neat.
I tell you, Sally Jenkins had a fantastic article in the Washington Post. And Ryan, if you haven't had a chance to read it, you should. But I think she does a fantastic job summing everything up in the last paragraph of her article, where if she doesn't mind me saying it here, I will. But she wrote, he preferred brevity, loath false sentiment, prized candor and humor above all character traits, and was a free speech absolutist. Privately, he was a lenient, adoring, and adored man. As great a writer as he was, I don't know that you could say anything higher about a guy that his children preferred his company to all others, and his approval to all the credit in the world. I was so lucky to be his. I don't know who to try to impress anymore, I told my mother.
Yeah.
Says it all right there.
Growing up with him must have been a blast.
Will certainly miss him because was an unbelievable Frog fan, an unbelievable giant in sports writing, and just a great guy to be around.
Yep. And, he sure was.
Yeah. A big loss this week, but we've got a lot of fond memories of him and a lot of his writing to look back at. So
absolutely, it makes me want to pick up Semi Tough and read it again.
Yep.
Amen. A lot of good books out there too, Frog fans. If you haven't read any of these books, read them. They're really good. Yes. Oh, well, moving on. Hey guys, we won a national championship.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, How about that?
And as John Ditton said at the East Side Expansion party the other night, that the girls had to be, what was it, Army and well, basically the Armed Forces schools to win the.
And for those of you who haven't been following, what we're talking about is rifle.
Yes, rifle won the national championship. And John Denton was so funny. He just said it just right off the cuff. And I posted that on Twitter. Well, I posted it on Facebook, Killer Frog's Facebook, which automatically posts to Twitter. And that thing got shared more than anything we've ever put on our social media. It was just really funny. I wish I'd have gotten it recorded, but just so funny the way he said it that – yeah, our women's team, TCU Forward Texas, which, you know, I mean, we are Texas, come on. But had to beat, you know, the Army, and I don't know who else has rifle teams. I guess they all do, all the armed forces.
West Virginia's got a really good one.
Yeah.
They're all going to think of it.
Yeah, so it was really funny. But, yeah, three times now, right?
Yeah. You know, we are the Alabama of riflery.
Yeah.
Yes. Last year we got second, right? I think we got second.
Yep. And that was after that was disastrous.
I went over there and interviewed Coach Mullins, the rifle coach, and those rifles, those small bore rifles, are not light. They're like 22 pounds each, and to stand there and hold those things and focus in on those little targets, and the target is about as big as a half dollar, you know, and you're what, 10 meters, 30 meters away, whatever it is, it's, and you've got all that gear you're wearing. If you've ever gone to the Schollmeyer and seen the collection of different uniforms that the team, various teams wear, look at the rifle uniforms. They're extremely, if you imagine, ever seen a fire hose, a real thick, heavy canvas, and that's basically what those rifle uniforms are. The sleeves are not very articulated. They're stiff, they're hot. The shoes are flat-toed, so if you're in the kneeling position, your feet don't rock back and forth, or one way or the other. So everything's built towards maintaining your balance and stillness. And it's got to be uncomfortable to wear those rifle mess with those things. But they do it, and they do it with style and class, and they win national championships. So my hat's off to those gals. I went to the shooting range a couple of weeks ago. I don't think I hit anything other than the dirt berm behind the target. So, and that's hard to miss that. But anyway, it was. My hat's off to those girls. They work hard. They do a great job. And, you know, if you're ever in town during one of the matches, they do have a little gallery there for spectators to watch. So it might be fun to do that and show up sometime and give them some support.
Where do they have it? Where are their matches?
The rifle range is over there. You go at the rifle center and head to the east. It's in a little separate, bless you, it's a little separate building over there.
Yeah.
And they do all the matches in there. It's not a huge gallery, but you can sit there behind a glass wall.
That's neat.
And watch them. It's kind of interesting. And they've got everything's electronically scored. So the minute they hit a target, it's going to show up on the screen up there. And you'll see exactly what their score is. And I think it keeps a running tab of what the scores are and how everybody's doing. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, sounds like it. Very cool. Yeah, well, congratulations, Rifle.
Yes, very much so. That's awesome. Another national championship to add to the trophy room. And I will link Wes's interview with the Rifle coach in the show notes. So if you're interested in hearing a little bit more about that, because Wes, you did a great job interviewing, and she goes into a lot of detail as far as how everything is done, what the uniforms are, you know, how the matches are done, everything else. It was a great interview you did a couple years ago. So we'll link to that in the show notes. So just go to killerfrogs.com after this comes out, and you can go ahead and get that link. Moving on, Dubber, you've been following the NFL Combine at all?
I sure have. Well, our guys.
We got three in there.
Yep. And they all three really tested out well.
I tell you, your fan favorite, Ben Banigou,
is a
monster right now.
Yeah, he showed, you know, and I agree with him, what he, you know, he kind of said, you know, listen to him. He's telling the scouts, you know, it's a big defensive year. You know, of all the years he comes out, this year is a huge defensive line year, you know. And but he said, you know, you see what you're getting athletically. And he goes, I'm like, you know, he said, some of them guys, they're polished. He says, I got a lot to learn. But he said, you know, just think what I can do in three or four years after I've kind of got it. Yeah. But he's, you know, he had the longest, broad jump, 11 feet, 2 inches.
Since 2003.
Wow. He had the highest vertical jump with a 40-inch vertical.
God.
I'm just like 40 inches. You know, and I watched him run 40, and it said a 4.58, but then I think they officially gave him a 4.62, and he was in the top five or six. But then to me, the most important thing, the first 10 yards, he had the fastest 10 yards of any. It was like a 1.78 or something like that, and that was faster than anybody in that group. And, you know, I mean, he tested out well. And, you know, and then down my mind just went like the other defensive end. Yeah. I mean, he had a combine. In fact, he's been moving himself up the board pretty rapidly. After the Senior Bowl, a lot of people caught fire with him. And, you know, all of a sudden he was in the top 50. If you look, he's been in the top 50 for a while, and I don't think he did anything to hurt himself.
No.
You know, I think he's continued to move up the list. And then Summers, you know, he you know, I forgot what he ran. His 40 was really well, really good.
4.51, I think it was.
Yeah, and I think he, same thing. All three of them, I think they moved themselves up the list.
Good.
Up the ladder with their athletic, you know, what they're showing. You know, the thing about Ty is he's been hurt a lot, you know. Yeah. So, that, you know, if he can stay healthy, I mean, that was a funny thing for me as everybody's saying, well, this or that. I'm like, the dude's a good athlete. He's a big guy. Yeah. That's a good athlete. And for some reason, I think people misunderstood that, maybe because he plays on TCU's team. So he is a slow guy on TCU's team, but that's not very fair.
That's a good observation, Dever.
I mean, you know, Patterson takes linebackers. He takes safeties and makes them into linebackers. You know, he takes four or five guys and make them into linebackers. Well, so, yeah, he's going to be the slowest linebacker, but he might be a pretty fast linebacker.
Yeah,
because, you know, he weighs 240. And you know what? He's versatile. You know, he played linebacker. He played defensive end, you know. So, anyway, I mean, we showed out really well. Those guys really did well. I think a lot of people are talking about them. I think a lot of scouts are talking about them. I think when they did the interviews, what I've heard is they all interviewed great, you know. And so, you know, now it's just draft time to see what happens. But, you know, the thing about Ben is he's a tweener, they say. Some people want him at defensive end. Some people want him at that outside linebacker. And, you know, so just – and he says he don't really care. You just – whoever drafts him, and that's what you got to love about him. He's like, I don't care. You know, draft me, and you decide what you want me to be, and that's what I'll be. You know,
well, I think one of the best things that could have happened to Ty Summers going into this year's draft was the success of Vander Esch on the Cowboys.
Yes.
Because Summers is kind of in that same mold.
Yeah.
And seeing how the Cowboys were able to utilize Vander Esch on the field this year, I think if another team wants a similar linebacker in their particular unit, I think you got to draft Summers.
Oh, I think he's a lot like that. I mean, you know, he's got some of the skill level. You know, if he wouldn't have got hurt, he would have ended up being the all-time tackle leader.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, he would have definitely taken that spot, but he just couldn't stay healthy enough to be on the field long enough. You know, this year he just had the little aches and pains. He couldn't quite get there. But if he had a full season, there's no doubt he would have been the TCU's all-time tackle.
Is the first time he's had injury problems. And he's been pretty durable the other 3 years of his.
Well, his third year, he did have some injury issues.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, he's a pretty tough kid. He plays through a lot. I think he tries to play through a lot. And, it's just unfortunate. That's if you're gonna play football, you're gonna get hurt. You're gonna get beat up. You know, and it just depends on what it is. But you know, what I think is, I don't know exactly I don't know where they'll get drafted, but I make a prediction that all three of them stick.
Yeah,
I think all three of them get drafted. I think all three of them make it. And then I, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we got a couple of free agents here and there that's got an opportunity, you know, when they get their chance to time and stuff like that. And we'll see. But, you know, that's the beautiful thing about it. If I'm a recruit, I don't know why you wouldn't want to come here if you were a defensive end slash linebacker.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Or an offensive tackle. We put them guys in the pros and they stick.
Yep.
That's true.
And, you know, so, yeah, man, I was fired up. You know, I had it on because, well, I was waiting to see how he did. And you sit there and you kind of hope that they do good, you know. And then all of a sudden when he ran that first 40, I was like, oh, yeah, he's got it. And then all of a sudden they start talking about, you know, well, earlier he, you know, had the longest, you know, broad jump since 2003. And I was like, all right, yeah, Ben's doing great. Literally start talking about the other two, and so you know what I mean. I feel great. I feel good about it. I'm glad, you know, once again that those guys went out represented TCU well.
Absolutely.
I could see Collier probably getting drafted ahead of Banigou, because I think a lot of NFL teams view him as kind of like the right out of the gate prototypical kind of defensive line guy that can kind of fit into one of their packages quickly.
Yep.
But I think Banigou has so much. His up value is just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, it's going to be great. But I agree with you. I think all three of these guys make a roster, and we may have one or possibly even two guys make it off of the free agency. So we'll see how that goes, and we're looking forward to that. And of course, every Frog fan is looking forward to football season. But before we get to football season, let's talk basketball, because Saturday we had a big win against Texas, 69-56. And just when you think.
Did it look like a different team?
Is what?
I mean, when I was ready to stick a fork in them.
I was about to say, just when you think things are going downhill.
I mean, I was like, hey, I love them. They've had a lot of adversity this year. They're trying hard. They just don't have it this year. You know, they're young. You know, they're blah, 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 this, that. And then all of a sudden, they just go out. They just dismantle Texas.
Yeah. Desmond Haywood, I apologize to Dale Cunting. And you know, I just think he probably said sorry because I know this victory probably cost your coach his job. So that's what I think, but who knows?
Yeah. Hey, I hope they keep him around a couple more years. You know, but I was proud of them. You know what? It's good to see Bain because I think as things have changed, I think they got to figure out somehow. This is just a personal opinion of a guy that watches basketball, you know, TCU. But I just believe Bain's got to be the go-to guy. I mean, that guy, when he finally decides he's going to be the scorer and this and that, boy, he's good.
Yeah, he lit up.
Gary probably wanted him to play football. That guy is big. I mean, you look at him on the basketball court and you're just like, holy moly, he should be playing every sport. He's a total athlete.
Well, you don't think of him, you know, I sit there and I think he's going to be stiff, but he's really fluid for as thick as he is.
I thought,
you know, he's going to be a little stiff. Then when you watch him, he is not stiff. You know, his biggest thing is, you know, and I think it's a plus and a negative. The plus is we have unselfish players. The negative is we have unselfish players.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's got to be greedy. I just think if I had one guy on the team right now, I'd want to be greedy. It's him. You know what? He'll pass up a shot and give it to somebody else that might be a little more open or this. And he's just good enough that I just think that when you get your shot or you think you got your shot, I'm giving him the green light.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Reminds me of some of the guys back when Billy Tubbs was coaching here. You know, like Nalon. I mean, you had a guy on the team, get the ball in his hands and just let him do something. And I think that's exactly the direction this team is going to have to take. But if anybody can get him to that point, it's going to be Dixon. And hopefully these guys get a little confidence, a little boost out of this, get a couple more of these kind of surprise wins towards the end of the season, and then – we'll see how things shape up, but I was with you, Dubber. I was just when I'm ready to stick the fork in them. They come out with this great win and against Texas. So, hey.
I guess they start off with Oklahoma State.
Yes.
I was just about to ask that question.
I think they start off, and I think if they beat Oklahoma State, I think they're in. I think they get the 20.
I hope so.
They might be in right now, but I think they beat Oklahoma State. They're definitely in. I think that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, this knock on wood, hopefully they'll play good there. And, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, they got two bona fide scorers, but, you know, and then they got a lot of guys that can do a lot of good stuff. But and all of a sudden you look up, there's four freshmen and a senior, or four freshmen and a junior, you know, or three freshmen and two juniors. I mean, we are young.
We're going in the right direction.
Yes, we are.
At least on the court. But off the court, we had some interesting news kind of befall the team here. And it looks like assistant Corey Barker has been wrapped up in this FBI investigation. The allegation is that he took money to, I guess, steering, directing a player to an agent.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as the news that we have from the athletic department is that he's on administrative leave, which you can read between the lines there. Yeah, we kind of know what
purgatory.
That absolutely. But I don't know how much do you think does this matter? B, is this just one rogue assistant coach looking for, you know, a payday? Or do you think that this might be a, you know, bad omen on the horizon here for the TCU basketball team?
I don't think it's a bad omen necessarily. I think it's perhaps more of a case of one rogue guy. And what's a figure they threw out there? $6,000?
Yeah, it was not a lot.
Throwing your career down the toilet for $6,000? Come on. That's just stupid.
You know, that's the thing, though. They haven't fired him yet. They're letting due process go. Apparently, they're not bringing charges up on him. He's not going to be charged, it doesn't look like. So I'm just interested to see how it all plays out and exactly what happened. I mean, it might be the 6,000. It might not. I don't know exactly what's happening. But, you know, one thing I always say, you got to watch out what you say about other things, because, you know, it's just like Jamie Dixon. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. When he made his statements way back in September, wasn't it, or wherever, you know, this was a good thing. And blah, I think he probably asked his coaches, said, does anybody, you know, blah, 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 you got your chance. And everybody said, hey, I'm good. and that just kind of shows you, you know, there'll be people say, does Dixon know? Does he not know? Did he know before? I don't think he knew. I mean,
No.
And, you know, here it is, assistant coach goes out and does something on its own. It'd be interesting to see what exactly, because everybody else except him and the Creighton coach, is what I understand, have been charged.
Okay.
The only two that has not been charged is him and this Creighton coach.
But is it because they're not linked to the Adidas, directly to the Adidas, right?
Yeah, and that is right. So. Yeah.
This is a separate deal.
So you don't know exactly what their play in the whole deal is.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, but, you know, I assume if it's found that he got money to do something like that, they'll probably end up firing him, you know.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't think Dixon knew about this. I don't think this is a problem.
Yeah. There's it's just really no reason. Yeah, there's, you know, something like this. I got a text from Steve Fauber, Abby's dad, saying, and I was traveling all last week, so I wasn't really on any social media, and it had just come out that day, and that's when I texted all y'all, and he said, what, do you think it's true what's going on? And I was like, oh, no, like, what now? This just reminds me of the season that we went, the first season into the Big 12 and that drug thing. I was just like, no. And so I started reading, and I was like, oh, Oh, this is nothing. I'm so relieved. I mean, it's so sad, but honestly, I thought it was going to be like recruiting, you know, we're paying players or coaches are taking kickbacks for recruiting. And then when I found out it was to steer a guy towards an agent, I mean, I was just like, well, I mean, of course it's unethical, but it's so just move on. Let's all just move on, get rid. If he needs to be fired, fire him, whatever. I don't think there's any, you know, Jamie, he didn't, I mean, I just don't think he knew about it. There's a reason for him to know about it. He doesn't care. I mean,
that's why I think there's more gray area. That's why I'm remiss to say too much, because I just believe if there was more to it, or if it was definitely a black and white, $6,000 and try to take, you know, that he'd already be gone. Well, because he's not gone and they put him on administrative leave, there's got to be some gray area here that none of us know about. I mean,
that is a good point given TCU's past history, because usually going all the way back, because Ryan brought it up, back to the drug bust, we were way out in front of things. We had press conferences. They immediately suspended people. They fired people, whatever it is. They're gone. And the fact that he is just on administrative leave right now, and he is immediately gone.
They said, let's wait for due process. Let's see.
Yeah, I think TCU is really good about the due process, which is fine. But, you know, they did that to the cheerleading coach. They gave him due process. The swim coach, he got due process, and now this coach, they all the aforementioned two did get fired though. But fair. You know,
there's a lot of hearsay back and forth. If they know he took money, I'd be shocked if they didn't just fire
him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and that may be the case eventually. But
it might be the case eventually. But I would really be surprised. That's why I just think it's more of a gray area too. Because
I think maybe it was cash money, and the guy didn't write him a check.
There's no receipt. He didn't put it in for his reimbursement check or something, right?
Yeah.
His expense report.
If he was really doing it, he might look right out and go, nope, I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, right? It was cash. It's all been spent.
But then the question is, how does the FBI know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we can get into that discussion later.
Yeah.
Right.
The Russians did it.
Hopefully it all works out. Hopefully, you know, we come out of it. And, you know, I mean, he's not as bad as what we think, and blah, blah, blah. You know.
Right. Well, hopefully it is. I
know the head coach has said good things about him, and all the players are sticking behind him, and nobody said, well, he made a mistake, and blah, blah, blah. They just said he's a good guy, his due process needs to take place, and, you know, so we'll see.
Was Barker the one that came to us from Las Vegas?
I thought this guy Jamie brought with him from
Pitt.
Didn't Jamie bring him with him from Pittsburgh?
I'm not sure. One guy. Well,
this was the first time they coached together.
Okay.
I thought this was the guy from Vegas, but I'm not
sure. I don't know. I really don't know.
It doesn't matter. Until TCU has that press conference, we won't know.
But he's been here since Jamie started, though, right? I mean, like, he's been here a while. Yeah. It's sad. It's sad to make a stupid mistake, you know, that can cost you your career, and it for what, you know, it's not like he did something horrible, but if it's against the rules, it's against the rules. So
the rule.
But we'll find out. Maybe he didn't. So
hopefully
we'll
it was the first summer that they were here, or the first, I mean, right when they first got hired. I mean, the crazy thing about that is how do you even know the players that well yet?
Well, the truth will come out eventually, and we'll all hear about it. But hopefully right now it's just a minor distraction. Hopefully the team can put it behind them and win against Oklahoma State.
I do have one question. So, because I haven't followed it completely. So the player that he supposedly steered towards this one agent, we don't know the player yet. We can try to. So will we ever find out if he really did go to that agent? I mean, did he go to the agent? I guess he did, because if he got paid, then he probably did go to the agent. Or did he get paid regardless?
I got paid regardless.
So one day I want to know if the player actually did go to the agent.
Okay. All I want to know is in the last few years, who's been good enough to be in pros right now?
I don't know.
Well, this was from the summer of 2017. So
I think the player could still be on the team, right?
If it's one, that's probably the one, unless he got his money duped.
But couldn't the player still actually be playing today? Like, it could be Bane.
Well, they were acting like it was somebody
that was already gone. Yeah. I don't know then.
We'll see.
We'll have the rest, as Paul Harvey would say, we'll have the rest of the story at some other podcast. Yeah.
Yes. And hopefully the rest of the story is nothing happened.
That's right.
But who knows? We'll see how it unfolds. Well, with that, I think before we come to the end of the podcast, I do want to point out again to go ahead and join us and Cook's Children on March 23rd at The Blast as we run, walk, and dine to make a difference in the lives of the patients and families fighting neuroblastoma, which, as we've talked about the last 2 weeks, it's this rare aggressive form of cancer. And this blast is going to feature a 1 mile fun run and a 5K, or you can just walk it like all of us who are out of shape. It's going to be at the Heart of the Ranch at Clear Fork. Participants will also have the opportunity to enjoy food and drinks from local Fort Worth food vendors. And of course, this year we're sponsoring a team. You can join us. Our team is being put together in the memory of Micah Ahern. Micah was, of course, TCU baseball's honorary superhero and everyone's favorite baseball player for the last couple of years. And unfortunately, we lost him to neuroblastoma back in 2016 at the age of 12. But, you know, we encourage you guys, come on out, join our team, Superhero Micah, as Cook Children's continues this fight to find a cure for neuroblastoma. You can go to nbwalk.org. That's NB as in neuroblastoma, walk.org. You can go ahead and join our team. Or if you can't make it out, go ahead and find yourself, if you have a little bit of couple extra bucks, kick it Cook Children's way, make a donation. They would certainly appreciate that. We also have a team code. Ryan, I think it's Frog is our team code.
You know what?
Is that right?
I think the team code has expired. But if you sign up, I think we only have about 12 people signed up right now. We would love to get 50. We ordered 50 shirts to give away to 50 killer frogs who sign up for Superhero Micah. So that's what the t-shirt will say. And it will have Wes. Oh, I forget y'all aren't looking at us, but Wes is actually wearing Micah's hat right now. So his superhero M will be on the back. So we will pass those out the day of the race, whether you walk, run, or just come, you know, donate and come hang out. And then I would like to add, there's a baseball game right after, later on that afternoon. So wear your t-shirts to the baseball game. We're playing UT that weekend. So it'll be a fun time wearing, honoring our angel in the outfield, Micah.
Absolutely. And folks, the blast is a blast to attend.
Sure is.
And Scott and I used to do it every year. Dubber, I hope you're going to be out there because your brother can walk it. You can too.
Yeah, I just want you to know, if it wasn't for knee replacement, I would be more than willing to run. I will walk.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, you lost 20 pounds just from shaving.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
That'll help the knee.
If y'all can see WC right now, he's like, he has no hair anymore on his whole head. It's funny. It's weird.
I'm trying to go back a little younger. I'm still a little old.
You do. What does Jennifer say?
She was a little surprised, but she's all right. I look like the more of the person that I'm married. She married than what I've been here of late. So
I guess
that means good. I mean, you know,
I think that's good.
Sounds like you earned some brownie points.
How much you like the person she married?
One more thing. The TCU Horned Frog baseball team is playing in California actually tonight. So hopefully they're racking up another win. Had a good road stretch out in California, and they're back home at Lupton Stadium this weekend. So come out and watch them Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, baseball's bit off a little rocky here to start off with, but I think they'll find their groove here.
We'll peak at just the right time, right?
That's usually how it works in this sport. Yeah. Go to the regional, super regional. It's a good time to peak.
Exactly.
He's been playing some tough teams, and if you look at the roster, it's kind of another fun year because you look up and it's a different roster. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of new guys to watch, and there's some new heroes out there. And but you know what? I the reason why I love them is because I think that they've got something they haven't had the last couple of years. Yeah. They can hit a baseball.
I just texted UWC.
You can text it everybody in the audience too.
I did, apparently. Turn your ringer off.
Dubber had his phone right by his microphone. I'm now deaf.
No, you're right, Dubber. They can hit. They got some, and you know, we're hitting for more home runs. We don't have a guy like Luke and Baker who can hit, or even Evan Scow who can hit 20 home runs, but we've got some guys that can put the ball over the fence.
And,
heck yeah.
Hey, you're a first baseman, I feel terrible that I can't remember his name.
Jake Gunther.
But let me tell you something. He knocked the cover off the baseball.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
He just doesn't hit it. He hits it hard every time. He's fun to watch. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of fun kids out there to watch.
Yeah.
You know, they have
Humphrey at catcher. But they had the backup, the other kid, and he's hit the ball so well. You know, he's the one that drove in a few runs of it last night. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, he's got a lot of competition out there, and it's been fun to watch. It really has been.
Yep. Yeah, they look like they're a different team. They're hitting the ball better. I think the team average is like right around 300.
Yep.
Gunther, I think, is batting, if I'm not mistaken. I checked it earlier this afternoon. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's close to 400 right now.
Yes, he is.
Let me tell you, he's crushing the baseball. He's fun to watch.
Yep. It's a good show.
They got some speed on the bases. They got some kids that can run. They got a little of everything. You know, they got a little mixture of everything. I think it looks like to me they have more speed on the base paths than they've had probably maybe ever. I mean, they've got some kids that can play and get around the bases.
Yeah, Reiser's pretty fast. I think Porter Brown out there is pretty quick too. Yep. And I talked to Schlossnagel early before the season, and he said, and I said, "What do you think?" And he said, "You know, really, if our pitching holds up, I really like this team's chances." Yeah. By that, I think he was referring more to Janzik and Williamson, because Williamson's got there were some questions about his injury recovery, but he seems to be doing pretty good. So. Mm-hmm. If we could get Janzik back, and Eisler, I guess, got off the beam a little, you know, if he can get back to form pretty quickly, then I like it. I agree with Coach. I like his team's chances.
Lodolo's been pitching great.
Yeah, Lodolo. He's fantastic.
Yeah, so anyway, I think it's going to be a fun season.
92.
Yep, definitely. Well, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. We want to thank everybody out there who is listening to us. We are on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. And, of course, we'd love for you guys, if you wouldn't mind, just go out there and give us a review on iTunes. It helps the podcast be discovered by other Frog fans who may want to hear about TCU Athletics. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU Athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. Or, as Wes reminded everybody earlier, you don't know who's actually posting on there. So
nice.
There's more than a few surprises than just Dan Jenkins posting on our board. So come on out there and have some fun with the rest of us Frog fans.
Jenkins was a great one, but the couple of – one of the guys I won't tell his
name. Don't give away all our secrets here.
No. But there are some Board of Trustee members on there that occasionally post, and it's always funny, and those guys should know, you know, some of the things. And on the rare occasion when they do post and somebody says, "Oh, BS, you don't know what you're talking about," if only you knew. Sometimes there's some really good information on that board, and some of it's a little off the beam sometimes, but, you know.
It's entertaining, always.
It's always entertaining. That's right.
It's always off the beam when Earl posts. But other than that, you can certainly find out some fantastic information.
Well, I'm not sure they have the internet up in Seaman, Oklahoma, where Earl lives, but you never know. I mean,
he may make it to a Starbucks every now and then.
Maybe a dial-up modem up there. I don't know, but there.
I think that's enough inside jokes for one night. But also remember to go to frogswire.com for all your TCU news. And, of course, with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we get the frogs up and we get to say, go frogs.
That was the longest goodbye ever.